This is the Inclusion Think Tank podcast, brought to you by New Jersey Coalition for Inclusive Education, where we talk about inclusive education, why it works, and how to make it happen. This is part two of my conversation with Maureen from Include NJ and a parent who is advocating for her child to be included in the classroom. Listen to find out what advice our guest has for districts and other parents who are working toward a more inclusive environment for their students. So the last question I have, it's kind of a two-part question, and that is, what advice would you offer to districts and what advice would you offer to parents who are seeking to have a more inclusive school environment?
As for the districts, I would, from my experience so far, I would want them to understand, as parents of neurodivergent children, that we are already worried about so much, right? For their future, for their social behavior, their social standing, their friendships. Are they going to have good connections with people? We're already worrying about so much that to have to, for example, in my situation, I feel like to have to almost worry about their day-to-day educational environment now, and worrying about, are they being included? Are they somehow being like separated still every day? And when I'm speaking to the people who make these decisions, you know, at these IEP meetings, I almost feel sometimes so frustrated that, you know, they can say things so easily about separating my child or what they need or what they're lacking, or, you know, what sounds to me like complaining about my child because they're a distraction. We have enough going on, you know, we don't need that. And the districts should be making it easier for parents to feel that they're part of part of the school community itself, and that our children are being embraced, you know, and that their differences are not causing, you know, the divide or to further divide them from their peers. You know, however it may be, finding ways to keep them integrated as much as possible from the earliest stage possible, while still supporting them and their needs and, you know, having their modifications or accommodations in the classroom. It's so important that the districts kind of help the parents kind of almost, oh, don't worry about this, we got you, because that is how I felt in the other state. You know, it was something I never thought about, you know? We had the support, we had the, like, it was just, we didn't feel constantly worried and stressed every day about what's gonna happen, you know? What's gonna happen today? What's gonna happen tomorrow? What does the future hold for my child when, you know, all of these things are constantly, like, they're being separated from all of this day-to-day stuff that in the future they're not going to have that kind of, like, I'm not going to call it a luxury, but no one's going to be separating them from things they're uncomfortable with, you know. And even things like, if you think about bullying, I know that one parent had described that one of the teachers said, well, I had to protect your child from bullying today, and it was funny because I didn't expect the parent to respond the way they did, but they said, well, my child also needs the tools to be able to navigate that, whatever the bullying, I think, was some kind of verbal something, like they were saying something to them, and they're younger, so, you know, it wasn't anything physical or anything like that, but the parent didn't treat it as, oh, like, grateful that this teacher was, like, protecting her child. She almost felt like, you're not even, like, my child can't even experience all of this and know what to do in those cases, you know, so you're not actually protecting them. It's you need to create or teach or put them in experiences where they know how to navigate something like that. So you protecting them is, in fact, only further separating them from understanding what's going on around them. So the districts, I just feel like when I refer to the districts, like case managers or you know, the directors, when they make these decisions about, you know, keeping these kids separate, like, to keep in mind that Think of it as your child. You want your child to have the most robust educational experience in their schools, and how separating them and putting them in a different classroom, what kind of experience is that, so just to kind of keep that in mind. If anyone wants to add to the district part of that.
I think one of the things too, and it's frustrating. We here in New Jersey have been, I've been involved with NJCIE, and I've been involved with Include NJ, and I, was a school administrator for way too many years. We have been talking about inclusion in New Jersey for just so long. And we just can't seem to get the needle to move. It's just really frustrating when you go to other states, you hear from other states, and how they've been able to move inclusion along. And we're all just people. So I just, for the life of me, wish that districts would just embrace the idea of inclusion and then figure out how to do it appropriately. And I think that that's part of the problem, is the first step in this is that you just have to embrace it and you have to say, we're gonna do it, but we have to figure out how to do it. And I think that's the hard leap that districts have to take, is to say those words that we are going to embrace inclusion. Now our challenge is to all sit down as professionals, as parents, as kids, and figure out how to do it. So I just wanted to throw that in, because we have been talking about inclusion in New Jersey, I think, for just way too long, and it's just time to just do it. I sound like a Nike commercial, but just do it. I cut you off on your last question.
No. I was saying, if anyone wants to add to the district, because it's an education in itself, trying to figure out, how do these changes occur? How can we, where does it start? I'm still trying to understand that. How do you make that change?
You know where it starts? It starts with parents like you. That's where it starts.
All right. Well, I'll do my part as much as I can. And as for advice for other parents, and if you're seeking the inclusive environment, inclusive educational setting, I think, as Maureen said, listening to podcasts such as these that have parents talking about their experiences and their fight for inclusion is a great way to start, and just getting educated about your rights as a parent. I feel like, we get these handbooks or the rights of you, or your rights as a parent, or, little rule books everywhere, handbooks. I feel this way about myself, where I often kind of disregard them just because, they're there, they exist. But then you don't realize how important they are when you are not getting your say to about your own child. This is kind of the struggle we've had here, where all of a sudden, even Include NJ, right? Maureen is highlighting to me, well, your right as a parent is this, and they can't do this to you, And I didn't know, because I didn't educate myself enough on what my rights as a parent are, or what rights as an individual in special education, what rights these kids, or what rights they have, or what they're entitled to, seeking the advice and help from organizations or advocates for inclusive education in general. I mean, I speak to anybody and anybody who will listen to me about it, because I like hearing about other people's experiences as well. And it's like these parents who I didn't even think, oftentimes it has been parents anyway, didn't even think that there were any, issues surrounding that kind of thing. But the moment I talk about it, they seem to all have a similar experience here. Everyone has seemed to struggle, not everyone, but the people, a lot of times the people I've spoken to have struggled with something, and they're struggling with getting the support they need for their child, or creating a space where their child doesn't feel like they're standing out, And
one of the things that Include NJ is going to be starting is we're going to try to set up parent to parent networks, parent to parent exchanges, so that parents who are all facing the same issues, and there's lots of them out there, you know, that we work with, that are facing the same issues, just have an opportunity to talk to each other. Because, you know, a lot of times we talk to parents, we help parents, we educate them, but I think giving parents the option of, you know, just, you know, talking to another parent who's going through the same thing in another district, and, you know, how did you do it? And, you know, and bouncing ideas off each other. I think there's some real power in that.
Oh yeah, I agree. And then just, I remember like one of the first things that I was told, I guess from you, and Monica, I think I mentioned it as well from Include NJ, don't agree to anything on your first IEP or whatever. And it's like, no one ever told me that, right? So whenever parents are talking about something, or, you know, if their kid needs support, that's like almost like the first thing I say, like, you know, when I'm working with this organization, the first thing they tell me is don't agree to everything. Even if it sounds like so great, it sounds so supportive and helpful for your child, read it. Reach out to someone who knows about it, research it on your own, because you don't know what you're agreeing to, you know? In my case, I hadn't been educated enough. I didn't have an organization to reach out to at the time, because I didn't know. But, you know, we agreed to this because they sold it to us in a way that was like, you know, this is good for your child, you know? But as the time went on and on and on, you're realizing, but you're not treating my child as an individual anymore. And you have to remember that an IEP is an individual. It stands for Individual Education Plan, correct? So I'm just verifying. When it is an individual education plan, and, you know, you should really be weary when someone suggests that they should be in a separate classroom, because how do you know that is what my child needs, if that's your first thought? My child's needs might be different and might not actually be good for them if you segregate them somewhere in some classroom, in some hallway, you know, at the other end of the building. That might be completely going against what can help them thrive. You know your child the best. So you research, you trust your gut. If you're reading something, you're thinking, you know, they've put this in terms that sound really positive, but, you know, it just doesn't sound right for my child. You got to trust that, because as much as I kept saying it, I did second guess myself, you know, because we came to a district that we were told has such great schools, such great special services. This is where you want to be. So I'm like, am I going crazy? Am I sitting here and just, you know, like creating problems that maybe don't exist? Maybe my child really isn't getting all these support services. Maybe it's all in my head that, you know, that the social behavior maybe has regressed. Maybe it's in my head that, you know, they come home and they just seem very frustrated with everything. And then, like I said, when I reached out and Maureen said, no, this isn't all in your head. This is a problem. You know, New Jersey has this problem. This is, inclusion is not what it should be here, you know?
Can I ask one maybe final question? Her child is included for now a good part of the school day. I just want to know from you how you feel about that. I know that, you know, it's a process, and your child just kind of started. But how do you feel that you kind of got what you felt was right for your child?
I feel that this is what that will benefit most. Working with the people who make the decisions from the district side, they have not made me feel comfortable with this kind of decision that we want. Like, this is what we want for our child in an integrated classroom. So I'm confident that's what they need, right? I'm very confident in that. What I worry about the most, and what makes me uncomfortable about it, is that I don't know that the school side is prepared to be as supportive as they need to be for them, because it almost feels like they're unprepared because integration is not a priority. So they don't know what to do with it. I just feel like the way they word everything when we fight for this inclusion, it just feels very unprepared and just very, just like annoyed, like some kind of distraction. And I am confident that's what he needs. But I need, you know, like I said, for my other state, I need to feel that they're confident in that as well.
I think that's a really important point, is that, there's a trust factor. And I think, you know, what happened in the beginning, the trust totally broke down. And I believe that eventually that the trust will be rebuilt when and if the school district does what they need to do, her family do what they need to do. I think that eventually that trust will rebuild like she had in her old state. So I think one of the takeaways for special ed directors, child study team people, is there is that element of trust. And once that trust is kind of broken, it takes a while for everybody to get back on the same page at the same table.
Thank you both so much for this much needed conversation. And Maureen, as you mentioned, through sharing, experiences like this, I think there is, power in that. And, hearing what other people went through and connecting everyone together to, to share their experiences, I think that is going to be very helpful and very beneficial to many families, who are working with you all there at Include NJ. So thank you both for this conversation. And, I think this will be very helpful to many families who are, working toward an inclusive education setting in their school districts for their children. So thank you both. And I hope you have a great
thank
day.
You. Thank you, Arthur, for having us.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. We thank you for listening to this episode of the Inclusion Think Tank podcast. This podcast is brought to you by New Jersey Coalition for Inclusive Education, NJCIE. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to follow us on social media at NJCIE. Until next time.